So we just heard two stories about baptism. Specifically, today being the commemoration or the remembrance of Jesus' baptism. It's the beginning of his ministry. So before he does anything, he is baptized. And what I hope to do today is to connect the dots between Jesus' baptism and the importance of our baptism. It is significant for one reason only, is that God takes the first step towards us. God is doing something for us. And then Jesus, as you heard me say to the children, Jesus lays a claim on us and then invites us into a deeper relationship. Unfortunately, there are some who see baptism as kind of a checklist item. That, oh, I have a child or it's time for me to be baptized and I do it and I check it and it's off the list. And that's not the way to view it at all, because actually it is just the beginning of a relationship with God if we choose to act on that. The opportunity is there for each and every one of us to deepen a connection with God, because God has already taken the first step and it is a starting place for us to grow. So think about it this way. If God is reaching down to us and wants to engage us in conversation, in a relationship that will grow over the years, and we don't respond, guess what? Nothing happens. Half a relationship is no relationship at all. Even if God has laid a claim on us and is holding on to us, we can belong to God and have no relationship. God is doing the saving. Matter of fact, God is also doing the giving. And if God is doing that, the question becomes, what does God ask of us in return? Well, the answer is kind of confounding, to be honest. God asks for nothing and everything. And that might not even seem all that helpful, but it's really true. God asks for nothing in return for laying a claim on us in our baptism, but hopes we will surrender our lives to him, our everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that my life is better when Jesus is calling the shots. I'm not sure it's easier, but it certainly is better. And I certainly know that when Jesus is running the show, I know where I'm going in life. You know, baptism didn't cost me anything. It was free. But God hopes that I will turn over all areas of control in my life over to Jesus. My relationships, my career, even my finances. And so it's nothing and everything. Now, the founder of the Lutheran Church, most of you know, is a guy by the name of Martin Luther, hence why we're called Lutherans. He gets to the heart of this. He's like, well, if we're going to be baptized, what's in it for us? And in something called the Small Catechism, he just cuts right to it, and he asks the question, what gifts or benefits does baptism bestow? The answer is this. It affects forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and grants eternal salvation to all who believe. Those final four words, that's our part. Everything above that is what God is up to, but those final four words, to all who believe, is what belongs to us. So what you hear is God wants to do all sorts of great stuff in our lives by being a part of our lives. He wants to wipe the slate clean of the things that we've done wrong, things that we feel guilty about, things we're ashamed about, things we don't even want to talk about. God wants to take all of that away. He wants to take away the fear of death that we will all face one day, including the fear of hell, the fear of the devil. And then give us a life that is better than this one at the end of this one. I mean, free, 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 free. I mean, this is good stuff. All for the taking, because God is giving it away for free. Yet God tells us, and Luther repeats to us, It is free to those who believe Jesus is the one giving those gifts. Let me say that again so we don't miss that. It is free. All those things right there on the screen are free to us if we're willing to believe Jesus is the giver of those gifts. So in other words, seeing baptism as a thing to check off your list as a Christian, getting your head wet, walking out the door, and never returning except occasionally, is not necessarily the response that God hopes for us. And here's the most important truth of them all. A life with God begins, and more importantly, and I'll get to this in a little bit, ends in baptism. A life with God begins and more importantly ends in baptism. So how do we know, other than me spouting a bunch of hot air right now, know that baptism is important to God besides me just talking about it? Well, I will tell you that the baptism of Jesus points the way. And it is found in the gospel stories, not once, not twice, not even three times, but it is found in all four gospel stories about Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now you'd say, well, of course it would show up in the stories about Jesus, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not aware, it is actually very unusual to find the same story in all four gospels. That's not the norm. Sometimes you'll find a story in one or two of the gospels, they agree. But it's not very often that you find that all four gospels tell the same story, except for the most important things. So if you spent some time and you realized, oh, a certain story shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is a moment to pay attention and sit up, because God's reminding us that this thing, whatever that story is, whatever that event was, is actually very important. So God goes to great lengths to make sure that we understand that baptism is important. So let's look into that story a little bit. The very first thing that Jesus does to begin his ministry of healing and teaching and performing miracles and then eventually dying and rising again, it begins in baptism. He goes to find this guy named John the Baptist, whom Luke tells us they're kind of distantly related. But yet all four stories in the Bible about Jesus tell us this is how it all began. John was a prophet. You might remember, if you were here during Advent, I told you that John the Baptist is the last prophet of the Old Covenant, even though he's found in the New Testament. God gave him one job, and the job was this: tell the people of Israel that God's chosen one is coming. That was his only job. God sent him out into the world in Israel to get the people ready for the one that God will send. In show business, you call that a warm-up act. John was the warm-up act for Jesus. It is the warm-up act's job to kind of get the people into the right frame of mind and a higher energy so they're ready when the main event, the main act, takes the stage. That's exactly what John was doing. Matter of fact, he was so good at it, people started to wonder if he was the main event. They're like, he's so good at what he's doing. He must be the chosen one of God. He must be that one because he's so good at what he's doing. And when John the Baptist heard rumors that people thought he might be the Christ, the chosen one, he stops all those rumors dead in its tracks. This is what he says. John answered them all. He says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that's the thing. John the Baptist is telling everyone who will listen, a deliverer is coming, and I'm not it. I'm only symbolically washing you clean of your sins, but the one who's coming is actually going to wash you with the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference there. But that was a part of what John was doing, was getting people ready for one who will deliver the people. And he says the best way to do that is to symbolically wash yourself as a reminder that you are getting ready for God to show up. Literally, come and clean up your act. That's what he's talking about. I mean, I put it in a different way. Get right with God before God shows up. That's what he's talking about. You need to be ready for who comes next. And as I told you, John is using water for baptism. But he said it's way bigger when the next one comes, the one we're waiting for who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, John has attracted so much attention because he's so good at what he does that, like I told you, they think he's the main act. Even the skeptical religious leaders have come out from Jerusalem to see what John's doing. And if you know this story at all, he endears himself to them by calling them a brood of vipers. And then he adds to that. He says, "And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." Now, that sentence may not make a lot of sense to us, but it's some serious stuff for the people of Israel. What John the Baptist was saying, he's like, "I just want you to know that salvation and security will never come from your lineage, from your heritage, from our patriarch Abraham. That God is going to do something so new that God will be free in choosing his own people. And it's no longer tied to if you were born into the right family, the family of Israel. It will make no difference if you're an ancestor of Abraham and his wife Sarah. This time, God is going to choose who belongs to him, and birthright will have nothing to do with it." Just FYI, that was scandalous. That upset some people. They were not very happy to hear that. But it's a reminder to us that our background and where we've come from, the things that we've been through, has nothing to do on how God views us, and that's good news for us. So while John is stirring the pot, Jesus shows up, and he asks to be baptized. Now, through divine inspiration, it's clear that John the Baptist recognizes who Jesus is. That he's not just a distant cousin, that he knows he is the one, he is the deliverer, he is the savior, he is the Messiah. He knows, he just sees it. And so when Jesus shows up and says, "I'd like to be baptized by you," John's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. No, not so fast. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" I mean, he's like, this makes no sense. So let's be crystal clear about this. John recognizes that Jesus has no need to repent of anything. Jesus has no need to confess his sins and get right with God because he is the Son of God. That's why he's like, you should be baptizing me. So here's the question. So why does Jesus insist on being baptized? I mean, there's the question. Why does Jesus insist on being baptized? Well, there's two reasons for that. First is to show the authority of John the Baptist, the validity that he is a prophet and is saying the things that God wants him to say and do. Someone is coming who's more powerful than John the Baptist. Jesus is affirming that message. But secondly, and way more important, it is to show us what Jesus' baptism will look like while affirming John's words. So you're going to see two baptisms, and you probably haven't thought about this. So first, Jesus is baptized with water in the symbolic washing in the Jordan, and then Jesus is baptized with the Holy Spirit after that water baptism. So here's the story. Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, as if to say after the baptism, heaven was opened up and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. So what you see, whether you realize it or not, are actually two baptisms, first John's and then God's baptism with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Whether you know it or not, that word baptism is not a religious word. To baptize is actually a secular word. It's a regular word. We just use it in a religious form. So if we went back to the Greek and looked at that word, what you would see is that the word in Greek is baptizo, but it's not for religious purposes. It means a couple of things. One, when a ship is sinking, what it is it's being baptized because it is being filled with water. That's how boats sink, is they take on water and they no longer can support its weight and it sinks. So a baptism of a boat is when it's sinking and it is filled with water. And the other imagery of baptism or baptizing something is when you're dyeing fabric. Is that a garment has to be immersed in the dye, and then that dye penetrates every fiber of the fabric to change its appearance. So when John says that the one who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit, he's also saying those who will be baptized in this way will be filled from the inside out with the presence of God. That when you are baptized, when you are immersed into the presence of God, you will take on a new spiritual color that will fill every fiber of your being, and it can't be washed away. But that is only true if you believe there's more than water in that bowl. In the same way that we believe that Christ is present in that bread and wine. Otherwise, that water is just water. It is what God is doing, not the water itself, that is important. So, why is this important to us? And why on earth is there a string from the baptismal font all the way to the cross above the altar? Well, let me tell you. On Thursday afternoon, I received a call from Denver, Colorado, asking if I would go visit this person's cousin whose home is in San Jose. This was what you call in sales a cold call. I didn't know this person from Denver. They didn't know me. They used whatever means to find my phone, the Bethel Church phone number, and they called me. This was literally a cold call. They didn't know me, they didn't know the church, and they asked if I would go visit their cousin who is now in hospice. And I said, of course. So we set up for a visit on Friday morning. So Friday morning, I go and visit this person, and I'm not going to tell you their name. They're not from here, they're not part of this church. But I went to go to see what I could do to help. Now remember, it was their cousin who called from Denver who didn't have any connection to us. But as we started talking, what I found out was that this person who is in hospice, they grew up in Minnesota, and their pastor, when they were a child, was Pastor David Place, who served here. Now remember, it was their cousin who called, not this person. They had no idea. Matter of fact, that cousin had called a different Lutheran church of a different brand first, and they declined to go visit. And that pastor said, you should call Bethel because they'll go visit anybody. So just know this, we'll go where other Lutherans don't dare to go. Can I get an amen? Amen? Amen, that's right. So they were shocked when I said, oh, Pastor Place used to serve Bethel, and I am the pastor there now. Now, they were shocked, jaws, because there was this person and their family, right? And I told them, I'm not shocked at all because that's how God works. God makes connections that we can't even see coming. Then I got to the heart of the business. It was a little bit of small talk. I knew we just had to cut to the chase, and I asked, I said, what can I help you with? And at that point, this person broke down into tears, and they were scared. They were scared about their future because they said, I had wandered away from Jesus over the years, and I'm scared of what is to come. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Of all the things that I do as a pastor, I will tell you that that moment right there and in situations like that, which I've been in before, are the most important thing that I can do as a representative for Christ, period. And this is what I said to them. I said, you belong to Jesus. And you may have wandered away over the years, but Jesus has been following you the entire time. Jesus laid a claim on you in your baptism, and you can't change that, and you can't wander away from that. You belong to him then, and you belong to him now. But I wasn't done. I continued on. This is what I said. I said, you might see this as an ending. And the world would perceive this as an ending, but I'm here to tell you that this is not an ending for you, but just the beginning, because God isn't about endings, but he's into beginnings. You will never be alone. I said, right now, you have your family with you, and they're going to be with you through this entire time, but when the time comes and it appears to be an ending, Jesus will be there to welcome you into a new beginning. So there will never be a point from here on out where you're going to be alone. There was silence in the room just like this. And I would tell you it was a holy moment, because it was. And it was what this person needed to hear, and it is what the family needed to hear in that moment. A word of hope, a word of promise that is 100% true, that Jesus does not give up on his own. Baptism ties us to Jesus forever. We might forget that at times, so we need to be reminded. And that is exactly why we have baptism, so we can point at it and say, you belong to Jesus forever, all of you. No matter what, you can't change what God has done. You might not think that this is important today, but one day, absolutely every one of us will be comforted by the fact that we have been tied to Christ in an unbreakable cord given by the Holy Spirit. And we call that thing baptism. Amen.